This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 179. 3D! It kind of reeks of poop. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to our first live-ish episode of the new year, people.
Live, I guess, for you. Yeah.
It's not a clip show. Live.
Not a clip show. I know, we had like two in a row. Sorry, guys.
I'm not sorry. They're damn good.
I know, all that toast.
There's a lot of toast.
Lots of carbs.
That's how you get your New Year started off right. That, and you hit us up on the website. So that address, if you don't know it, is www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is?
ESH.mobi. That's ESH.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at questions. ESH.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and you can also listen to some great shows coming out of the ESH camp.
That's right. You can check out the show hosted by our very own King Baby Duck, which is the Boston Bastard Brigade. Their new episodes are going on every Tuesday. So if you need something that's kind of like Esh, but also its own deal with more pop culture things, general sports things, more bastards, you should definitely check them out. Then on Wednesday, to follow up the goodness of ESH Monday and Bastard Tuesday, we've got Deuces Wild holding down Geek Aggro over at Collective Geek. So that way you can get your PC gaming, your aggro taken care of, I guess?
Aggro-tastic!
Yeah, what she said. So right there we've got you carried to Hump Day, and then to get you through the rest of the week, well, you can follow the randomness that is the crew of Esh on Twitter. I can be found at twitter.com/ninjasister.
And I'm twitter.com/LadyEsh.
You can also follow King Baby Duck at twitter.com/King_Baby_Duck, Deuces Wild at twitter.com/Deuces Wild, and Viciousmith at twitter.com/Viciousmith. So right there, the core of the crew, holding it down, keeping you nerded up all week long. It's
yeah.
Like to awesomes.
It is to awesome.
So we've done the business piece. I guess we get to jump into the fun stuff.
Yay! I love fun stuff.
If you've been checking out what's going on the website, you know that both myself and Evermore were at CES.
In at around about because become
well, look,
as
we're taping this, I'm trying to relax.
They're at CES.
From
there,
CES.
I said it. We're done.
It's not a secret. I just couldn't spit it out my mouth fast enough. But yes, CES 2010. First of all, the crowds are back. Holy Jesus, the crowds are back. But that's a good thing.
The crowds are back in town.
Because that means the economy's better because bitches is flying. So this is a good thing. But we've been spending the entire week in Las Vegas, and I've got to say, it's been a really good show so far.
How good of a show has it been, Ninja?
Well, Pandalicious wasn't able to come along with us.
Yeah, well, rub that in, okay, thanks.
So she, like a lot of you, have been living vicariously through my Twitter and the stuff that we've been putting up on the web.
Oh, no, I haven't been reading your Twitter because I'm jealous.
No, don't be jealous. Read my tweets.
No, like the, here, looky at this, and look what I saw, and guess who I met, and look at this, and look at this. I don't want to
Hey, look. Listen. You?
I know.
Seriously. So I've been doing a lot of tweeting, as you know, if you follow me on the Twitters or read the tweets from the homepage of the ESH website, because it's the fastest way for me to keep up with all the news. There's been a lot of announcements, a lot of products. I still haven't made it through all of Central Hall yet. I've got one day left to do it. I don't know if I can pull it together, but let me tell you about the stuff that I have seen. And I know, Panda, that you've been reading up on some of the announcements back your way.
Mm-hmm.
So we've pretty much got a CES roundup for you. It's not a bad way to start off the year.
No.
So let's get to gadgets.
All right.
So the first...
You start. I'm going to drink this SoCo.
Oh, no fair. I won't...
Hey, you're the one usually drinking. It's my turn.
Hey, I've got Mountain Dew Throwback over there, so...
I know, we got some tonight, too. Me and Eshmom.
I'll tell you what. The Throwback is Tabossum's. I'm using that a lot this week, by the way, just so that you know.
The Bossoms or the Awesome?
I'm using to Awesome, to Bossness, and Redonkulous.
There are
a lot of things that I've seen that have been Redonkulous.
Well, Throwback is Redonkulously the Awesome.
It is. See, there you go. You used the doubleless.
Anyway, let's get to the...
First up on deck, because you couldn't go anywhere during the show and not be pretty much smacked in the face with the technology. We got to talk about 3D at the consumer level. 3D TV in your home. 3D technology in your home.
Oh, and who conjured this?
Well, a lot of people did. Okay, there are a lot of 3D technology TVs floating around here, but the biggest guys on the block definitely have to be Sony. Have you been following much of the Sony announcements there, Panda?
I know you were telling me about this, the whole 3D concept thing. We were talking about it earlier. I meant to look at it.
And you
but
didn't.
I don't know. No. And I have a strong feeling that it kind of reeks of poop.
How does something kind of reek of poop? I would think that, you know, poop is such a distinctive smell.
It's like a faint poop smell.
That it either
like poop
reeks
in the wind.
Of poop.
It's like poop in the wind.
I don't...
Like the essence of poop in the wind.
With a hint of poop in the
like
wind?
Like a hint of poopiness.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what my impressions are, and you can tell me whether or not it winds up.
About your impressions? Awesome.
Sure. Let's do that.
Let's do it.
So I went to the Sony press conference literally right after getting off of the plane here in Las Vegas, dropped the bag off at the hotel, ran and got my badge, made it 5 minutes before the presser started, didn't have a place
to
sit.
Run so far. Away.
I did, because they're all, Sony, as always, is always at, you know, Buck fucking West at the convention center. So they're all the way near North Hall, but not in North Hall, all the way at the back of the Grand Lobby area. So it was a hellfied walk. Made it, though. And the first thing that they started talking about were 3D TVs. And at first I thought it was a joke when they were talking about the 3D technology.
But aren't TVs already three-dimensional in construction?
Yes, in construction. But as far as the imagery that you see on the screen, everything is pretty much in that one plane. So what Sony...
Not anymore, apparently, Sony.
Sony is focusing on a technology that they're calling Real-D.
Real-D?
Yes, which is a realistic 3D television image. And they believe in it so much that they're actually launching an entire line of Bravia TVs that are going to range from the 36-inch size up to, I believe, the 56-inch size initially, that are going to use this Real-D technology to bring 3D TV to the consumer-level home. This is going to be stuff that they're going to be using for broadcast level. So think of your, and as a matter of fact, one of the demo stations at the Sony area had Wheel of Fortune in 3D. So think of that, you know, broadcast television, PS3 video games, sporting events in 3D. The idea sounds interesting. You know, and I will hand it to Sony. Every station I went to where I put on the glasses to view the images looked crisp, but I've never had any issues with the Sony Bravia TVs. The Bravia TVs have always been gorgeous television sets. Okay, the quality is phenomenal. The colors are amazing. However. Yeah, there's a however. I don't necessarily think that the consumer base wants 3D in the home.
I can't, because then what? Well, wait, we get 3D TVs with 3D images, and then we'll have all those weird sickos and sex aficionados watching porn in 3D.
I get porn in 3D, and I don't think that that's
a bad idea. Oh, God, porn in 3D. Oh, boy.
I don't
Breaking
think...
Breaking down that wall.
Literally. no. Let me take that back. No, I don't necessarily think that porn in 3D is a bad idea, because that's a very niche market. What I have the issue with, and why I don't necessarily see this as a technology that's going to take off, is that you look at 3D in the home, and here's the lineup. In order for it to work, you're going to need a TV, you know, the hardware, that can actually deliver the 3D content. So that means you're going to have to buy a new TV.
Right.
Then you're looking at, okay, software. Not a lot of vendors, I can imagine, on the front end, as far as broadcast TV goes, are necessarily going to want to give up their bandwidth that they've just acquired for HD to now stream HD or HD in 3D as a separate stream, because you're going to have the programming coming into your TV in 3D. It's not like it's going to be able to take a regular broadcast image and turn it into 3D.
Right.
So there's going to have to be a separate broadcast stream for this content. Right now, ESPN has come on board and said that they're going to make some content available in the 3D broadcast. And FIFA has said that... Hold on, come along on the ride for me, and then you can jump in.
All right.
FIFA is going to make the World Cup game available and broadcast that in 3D. Okay? But also, you're going to need 3D glasses. You're going to need real D glasses. And so this is where I start getting into the negative on this. I went to three of the different testing pod areas that Sony had for the 3D technology in their booth, and at none of the pods could I find a set of glasses that was comfortable. They either didn't sit on the bridge of my nose, so they fell off, so I was having to hold them up on the sides of my head, or they were so wide that I couldn't get them to sit comfortably behind my ears, or even get my ears to pin them to my face, so I could not get them comfortably on my face. So immediately my mind goes to, well, obviously Sony is not thinking about either glasses for children or glasses really for women, because I could
Well, when has Sony ever truly come out and been child-friendly? Because the PS3 isn't really a kid console.
Right, and the PSP is not really a go-along for kids. I get that, but when you're talking about home entertainment, okay, home means family, and that's always been true for any company that's dealt with home entertainment. It has to be accessible for everyone in the home, and I just don't see this technology doing that.
Were those demo glasses just demo, like prototype, or are they actually the finished product and what they'll be when they're released on market?
I'm hoping that Sony decides that they're demo and they go back to the drawing board. But they had a set of glasses all with the different styled colors and things like that were in that form factor, which leads me to believe that they're pretty set on that as the design of the glasses.
Well, sorry, kids and women. No 3D for you.
No 3D for you. You
no
go watch standard definitions.
Yeah.
You know,
go back to your 8D. HD and your Blu-ray.
Well, I
no
just...
No filthy for you.
I see this as just being very prohibitive technology. You know, I love having people over to watch the Super Bowl. And initially when they said that ESPN was coming on board, my brain went, oh my God, the game is going to look so awesome in 3D. And then my brain said, wait a minute. But if you're going to have people over, that would mean that you would need real D glasses, not just for yourself, but for everyone.
Fuck that.
Okay. Well, you know, what about people that wear glasses regularly? Am I going to invite somebody over to my home and have them have to put on glasses on top of their regular glasses? Because anybody who's been to a movie theater to see a 3D movie that wears glasses regularly...
It's a pain in the twat. Well, it is.
I was going to say that it was a pain, you know, on your face.
No, it's a pain in your twat.
We really need to record earlier in the day because you just get nasty for no reason later on in the day.
What? I'm sorry, but it's true. I feel no shame in using that word.
Well, you should. Well, that's a naughty word.
At least I didn't say the other word.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that.
I'm considerate.
Sometimes. But really, I see 3D in the home as being prohibitive. It's non-inclusive. And the last thing that you want as the technology in your home is an obtrusive, non-inclusive technology. I mean, we gather around the television to share experiences. If you make that gathering spot, that gathering place, difficult to gather around and difficult for everyone to enjoy, I just see bad things happen. I mean, can you imagine the setup? Okay, it's Thanksgiving. Everybody's had dinner. Okay, everybody's...
The itis is kicking in.
Yep, people are in the living room watching the football game with their 3D glasses on, right? Grandpa falls asleep in the chair. He wakes up. Kinda, sorta, opens his eyes, and there's a football coming towards his face, and strokes out.
Ow. I think that's segregation. It is not separate and equal. So I think we have an issue that needs to be brought up in court.
Now, I will say, and I took some video with my iPhone of some of the gaming that was going on, demos that they had on the PS3 for 3D, and I shot through... one of the lenses of the glasses and took the lens down and brought it back up so you could see what it looked like, you know, without the 3D glass and then what you could see what it looked like with the 3D glass. And I will say that, you know, the prototype game that they were showing off kind of reminds me of an Asteroids type game.
Okay.
You know, and it was fun to play and it looked really amazing. And I started thinking about, you know, other games that could use the technology, you know, games that are out right now that having this kind of presentation of the game would be a value-added thing. So immediately my brain went to Uncharted 2.
Oh my God, Uncharted 2 in real D?
Yeah. Okay, so then I start getting excited again. You know, I start thinking, all right, God of War... In 3D.
It will be.
You know, I start thinking of, you know, Metal Gear in 3D.
It will be.
You know, Devil May Cries in real D. You know, and those images and where my mind is going with what they might look like really gets excited. But the investment in it is prohibitive, I think. Now, one of the guys that I spoke with at the Sony booth, which you will more than likely be hearing snippets of on next week's show, which is going to be a best of some of the interviews that we did, and I'll talk to you a little bit later on about who we talked to, so what you have to look forward to over the next week.
Yay!
But they wanted to make sure that I didn't leave the booth without understanding that existing PlayStation 3 owners who want to take advantage of the 3D gaming stuff are not going to have to buy a new PS3 to do that. There will be a software update that will be free through the PSN network to download, to install on your existing PS3 so you can take advantage of 3D gaming. But you still have to buy the TV and those glasses to do it.
Sony can go fuck itself.
Okay, and so if you do any kind of multiplayer in your home, you're looking at a pretty hefty investment because those glasses are not going to be cheap. I was never able to get anybody to give me a price point on the glasses, so I'm going to go through Sony's press kit later on this week, and if I can find a number or find the name of somebody that might be able to give me a number.
I think it's going to be hella fucking expensive.
Well, you know, you look at what Bravia TVs are running for, and you're probably looking at anywhere between, you know, $3,200 to $4,000 investment if you're going to get, you know, a set of four glasses, a TV that's, you know, let's call it 40 inches or better, because let's face it, size does matter.
Yes, it does, especially when it's your TV, really.
Yes. You know, so I don't necessarily know that there are a lot of gamers that have that kind of money to invest. And I know that Sony sees this as being the focal point of your home entertainment center, which I absolutely agree. Your TV should be the focal point of your home entertainment center. It should be the hub that you run your music, your videos, your game through. But I'm not sold on 3D in the house. I don't think that the consumer base, especially in the U.S., is, like, clamoring for it.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? I mean, you've seen a bunch of movies recently in 3D in the theaters. Do you want to go home and then watch?
No, it was very disorienting, and I think people who already have a predisposition to a lot of intense worlds and whatnot that make them, like, nauseous. Like, I mean, people who might want to see this experience but might have a weak constitution will find themselves getting sick, and I don't want to get sick at home. Because I don't want to get sick anywhere. But,
right.
I mean, I could see this leading into a lot of cleanup, personally.
I just, I don't see it as being
see this being a very, like, I mean, I like the innovation. I love the thinking ahead and moving forward. But I think it's too soon for this.
Right.
Like I don't see this being something that everyone's going to be like, oh my God, I want to buy a new TV and I want to wear awkwardly shaped glasses so that I can see, you know.
Well, I will give you
cat in 3D.
I will say this. The glasses didn't look awkward. They were very much in the style of, you know, a rounded rectangle set of product frames. So they're very styling glasses. It's not your, you know, fold out red and blue framed paper glasses. These are,
God.
You know,
are they yellow?
They're black for the most part. There's also a racing red color. They were showing off a really nice metallic midnight blue color, a silver one with black accents. So they are stylish glasses, for sure. But, again, I don't think that 3D in the home is a one-size-fit-all solution. And your solution for your home, I think, needs to be a one-size-fits-most. And I don't know that 3D is a one-size-fits-in.
I think 3D might be one-size-fits the extremely rich and bored.
Well, even at that, I mean, how many of those people are going to want to sit at home and put on glasses to watch TV? Like, I don't see Russell Simmons, who, that episode of Cribs that I watched where he was showing off the theater that he built in his house, I don't see him running out to buy a 3D TV to sit on a couch with those glasses on.
Yeah.
So
Russell Simmons is against real D. I'm just kidding. Russell, he might not be.
Exactly. We don't know. We have no affiliation with Russell Simmons. We don't know his thoughts and or we're just guessing.
It is all speculation. I am just guessing.
So,
I completely agree with you. I think it's not something that the masses are all going to be like, I want to get in on this on the ground floor. And, like, if it even becomes something that will, you know, trend to everybody, it's going to be one of those trickling effects.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some people will get it, and then they'll have friends who are like, oh, what's that all about? And then they might invest, and then, so I mean, it's going to take a while before a lot of people catch on and be like, you know what, this, like, if it's really good,
well, and
that way.
Topping that off, you know, Sony's not the only one doing 3D. So everyone's going to do their flavor of 3D. It's going to become like developing for the web, okay?
Food will be 3D.
You know, there's a standard, but nobody adheres to the standard. Everybody adheres to their flavor of it.
Right.
You know, it's like everybody has a recipe for mac and cheese, but everybody's mac and cheese doesn't taste the same because everybody does something a little bit.
Yeah, but it's not nearly as awesome as my mac and cheese. Period. The end. We're done.
Esh Mom's mac and cheese is better than
no!
Yours.
No, it's not. You haven't had mine. You wouldn't know.
It's a pretty high bar you gotta come up to there.
I've been trained in the way of mac and cheese.
So
I have done the grasshopper in the hand thing with Mom. The torch has been passed.
Oh.
I'm supreme.
We'll see.
I rule.
But anyway, you know, with everyone doing their own flavor of 3D, you're going to have different types of glasses, different price points, different TVs. You know, you may even have different requirements for broadcast, and I don't necessarily see a lot of people jumping on board. So I think it's going to be years before you see any of this even start getting close to hitting consumer homes. And even at that, I just don't see a lot of value added to begin with as a reason to do it. What I will say that I absolutely was impressed by at Sony's booth were two things. And one of them was actually an accident that I ran into it. And the second one was totally on purpose.
Uh-huh.
So Sony's e-reader. And I haven't really dabbled much in
it. Is the e-reader like the Amazon Kindle?
Yes.
Okay.
So Sony has three e-readers at the $199, $299, and $399 price point. And I have really stayed away from e-readers because I was not sure if it was going to be a format that was going to be a fad or become a staple of the digital lifestyle.
And it would require you to read.
Screw you. I like reading, unlike you.
I
actually read paper books.
I fucking love reading.
No,
I read books.
No, not manga. Books.
Yeah, they have words. Books. No pictures. I know what a book is.
Sometimes I wonder. But I didn't want to get involved in the whole Kindle Nook thing and Kindle DX and Kindle, oh crap, this might actually be a magazine.
Right.
So I was staying pretty far away from all of that. But I was waiting for my shot at going over to the video game area so I could get my hands on Mod Nation Racers, God of War 3, and Heavy Rain. And so I wound up standing next to this guy who was at the e-reader booth. And the gentleman there, his name is Keith, started running through his spiel about the e-readers. And I found myself a little interested in watching his demo, and eventually I sat in through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
What I find interesting is not the two lower price point e-readers, the $199 and the $299 one, because while they store a lot of books internally, I believe on the mid-range one, you could store somewhere up to like 160 books, and then on the lower range one, somewhere in the neighborhood of like 80 books or something like that, with just the memory that was built in.
Okay.
The one that I was really impressed with was what they call their daily reader, and it allows you to do subscriptions, and it would then download new publications to the device as long as the device was tethered to the computer so it could actually go into the internet and get them. So you could subscribe to the New York Times, per se. And just by having your e-reader plugged into your computer, even if your computer was in its hibernate or standby mode, at 6 a.m. that day, it would get the new edition and put it on your e-reader so that when you actually got up and started to head towards work, you would have, you know, the morning's paper with you. Same thing with different magazines that they were making available, and books as well, if you're doing chapter-by-chapter downloads. Incredible battery time, as the device only used battery power when you flipped from page to page. So once a page load, in essence, the device would turn itself off. It would no longer be pulling power. So you'd be able to get through a lot of books on a read fairly simply. And it wasn't a very large device. You know, their pocket device was about the size of...
a pony?
No, the old Sega Game Gears, but thinner, obviously.
Width-wise, the Game Gears were as thick as fuck.
Yeah, no. Thinner, much thinner. Probably, as far as thickness goes, a little bit thicker than a Motorola Razr when closed.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, you know, just shy of being 3/4 inch thick. But the Daily Reader, to me, seemed like the one that had the most potential to be the reader that you would want to use if you took mass transit or were going on trips and didn't want to carry lots of books around with you. And the subscription piece of it doing the automatic downloads to me just seemed really, really interesting. And so I'm probably going to spend a little bit more time actually in e-readers and researching them now, because I do like to read. I like to read on the go, but I don't like having to carry a lot of books around with me, because a lot of times when I'm reading a book, I like to read 2 books at the same time.
Why? So
I like coming out of a book, coming out of a story for a minute, going into something else so that my imagination gets to kind of run down a different path for a while and then coming back.
Oh, all right. I feel you, sis.
You know, so if I stay on the same path too long with a story, I start rewriting the story. You know, I will read something like, it's one of the reasons why I never really finished The Lord of the Rings, because I was already rewriting it in a way that I thought was better in my own brain. If I stay on a subject too awful long, I find myself critiquing it and then wanting to make it better, and then ultimately I don't enjoy it because I'm like a teacher and I'm reframing it. So I like, usually when I'm reading any book, I'm usually reading 2 books at the same time and then jumping out of one story into another and then back to another. And so I love the idea of being able to carry around, you know, a couple hundred books, because then I can pretty much jump in and out of anything at any point in time. So the e-reader was kind of a surprising thing to me, is how much I enjoyed it. And then when I finished with Keith, I went over, got my hands on Mod Nation Racers, which we saw at E3. It's good.
It's good.
It's
good.
The controls as far as moving your carts around are, I would say, better than Mario Kart. Ooh. With the exception of drift. So one of the things that you can do outside of just creating your own track, and either meticulously creating a track or using the auto generator to do it, is that the characters that you create and then race not only have regular racing game mechanics, but also bring in the drift mechanic, which we've seen start perforating games like Need for Speed Shift and the game Drift itself, you know. So it's kind of interesting to see in a mini racer those race mechanics involved with the addition of power-ups. So one of the power-ups that I actually got to play with in the demo was using the missile launch attack, which when you hit anybody else with the missile, rather than them just blinking for a little while and you driving past them, it actually blows up the car and it blows the hood and everything off the frame, and then you disappear for a while and then regenerate. So a little attention to details like that I really liked. I also like that in the game you actually have levels of power-ups, and so every power-up has 3 levels. So, for instance, the speed boost one goes from a speed boost to, you know, a mega drift boost to the eventually opening up like a wormhole in space, and if anybody drives into that wormhole, you're immediately transposed to the place where they were. So like if you were last place and you were able to fire this wormhole out in front and somebody in first, second, or third drove into it, they would move to your spot in last place and you would take over their spot And so I thought it was kind of an interesting mechanic. It looks really good. Anybody who's ever either played with those Mooney dolls or made one is going to love it, because that's what the style of the game really reminds me of. So that was fun at the Sony booth. I didn't play Gran Turismo because everybody and their cousin plays Gran Turismo, and frankly...
I don't play Gran Turismo.
Frankly, I'm kind of over driving games for a while. So I went over and played God of War 3. The demo is still hot. The graphics are fine-tuned. It's... I would be surprised if God of War 3 doesn't wind up being next year's Game of the Year. And then I played Heavy Rain, which is...
Oh my god, how is Heavy Rain? Because I've heard so many things about it, like that it's only initially 10 hours long per scenario.
It can be, yep.
Anyway,
depending
how
upon
was it?
How
Tell
you
me
play
about it.
It. So what I'll say is, Heavy Rain is not going to have a mass appeal to the game audience. I don't think it will, because it is not the game for people that like to go into things and just blow shit up.
I like to blow things up.
Yeah, but if your ideal of the best game on the planet is to be dropped in, have a lot of enemies, and blow shit up, this is not the game for you.
Okay then, people. You heard the woman.
Okay. This is very much a thriller, almost movie, that you interact with. I'm almost hesitant, really, to call it a game.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, how familiar are you with what Heavy Rain is about and how it works?
I'm under the impression that you have four different characters that don't really know each other, but they're all linked because of the Origami Killer.
Correct.
I believe it's the antagonist in that story. And I think you play like a cop who's like a heroin addict, so he's like got DTs. There's some whore, and then two other people that I know nothing about because they weren't releasing all the characters straight away.
Correct.
Like they were waiting back at E3, but they had announced the chick at E3.
Correct.
So
you're absolutely right. There are four main
characters
in the game. And so the way that it's structured is that Heavy Rain is telling a story.
Okay.
And you don't so much as die and get a game over and pick up where you left off in Heavy Rain as much as you play through it. And if you don't get your character all the way through what could be their arc, then that's just how your story ends. And then you immediately switch over to another character and start running through their story. So it's not like, you know, if you're playing Modern Warfare and you die, you know, you got hit by a grenade, you should watch out for him. And then you respawn right in the same spot and you pick up where you left off of. That doesn't happen in Heavy Rain. If you die, that's the end. That's how your character
right
at the end of their story.
Right.
And
so, obviously, then there are different scenarios then where you've got where all of your characters survive, and then when certain ones die and other ones don't, and all that happy horse.
Exactly. Now, not so much do you have an action game as much as you have, you know, a strategy game, in that you make choices, and those choices then
have repercussions and reactions throughout time.
Correct. So one of the things that happens is, as you approach into an area,
mm-hmm.
when your character either interacts with the environment or interacts with other people, you'll get these series of commands that will start floating around the character.
Okay.
With the corresponding buttons on the controller, circle, square, X, and triangle. And so you get to choose how your character is going to respond, because these are what your character is thinking of doing at that moment. So they may have, you know, a terrified moment, or, you know, want to hide or want to confront. And then based on what you choose and quick time events, you're either successful
or you're not.
Or
you die. Or something
or you
happens.
Get harmed, or you don't get a critical piece of information that would take you necessarily down the arc you want to go into. So again, it's not... I'm hesitant to call it a game more so than an experience.
Right. Well, there's nothing wrong with an experience.
Absolutely
I mean,
not.
I think I like when they were talking about this game. No, at first I was like, I don't know if this really sounds like anything that I would be interested in. But then, I mean, I saw some gameplay out over at E3. I think GameSpot was doing interviews with the creator and the I think the guy who came up with the original concept. So, I mean, when they finally showed, because I think they showed the a cop scenario, like he goes to this junkyard, mm-hmm. and he talks to this guy because the car that the killer used came from this junkyard. So he goes to go talk to the guy who gave the killer the car, but of course that guy doesn't want to talk. So, I mean, I completely understand that like I've seen the commands floating around above this man's head.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually, you know, they showed him, you know, using his, because apparently you get glasses or something that let you see, like, blood trails and whatnot, I mm-hmm. think, if you're the cop. I don't know if anyone else gets that, you know, technology. And he looks down and he sees, like, this big blood smear right near an acid, like a drainage that has a lot of sewage and, like, acid in it. And the black guy, he's a black junk guy, doesn't like that you're snooping around, and he starts to fight you. And I've seen the QuickTime action. So, I mean, it really involves you, which is what I think is the most interesting thing about this game / experience. It really puts you in, even though it's third-person perspective, it's you thinking as your character, so it's like first-person perspective.
Absolutely, and I think that is a great way to go with the medium, but I'm hard-pressed to call it a game, and I don't think that it will initially resonate with the core
gamer.
Of the game
I don't think
community.
So either. I don't think so either, because a lot of gamers like their games a certain way. They want action, they want story, they want graphics. Now, granted, I think Heavy Rain has all that.
Yep, I would agree.
But at the same time, I think it's the manner of presentation of all that stuff that will make it less appealing.
To the core of the game audience, you know, I mean,
yeah.
I have not heard a lot of people other than, you know, diehard gamers in the industry talking about Heavy Rain and enjoying it. Like, have you seen a commercial for it? Because I haven't.
No, I have not. There isn't a lot of hype. Because
I don't think they know how to hype it.
Well, I think, like, the creative guys who did the interview with GameSpot were claiming it to be an experience. Like, it is a story. It is enriched. Like the story is probably the biggest, the biggest focal point of this whole game.
Absolutely.
It's really the story. It's not really about how you play. It's not about button mashing. It's not about the graphics. It's about the story. You know, so, I mean, they're taking a left where most game, you know, developers and companies would take a right and be like, well, we know how to make a game entertaining. But I think they're taking entertainment in a different direction.
And I hope
game.
That it works because I think
Me too,
that,
because I'm thoroughly interested in this.
I think that there is definitely a market for this type of game.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's the entire community, but there's definitely a piece of the community that is ready for a thriller. Choose your own adventure.
Are they marketing it as a thriller? I thought they were marketing it as like an suspense. Murder,
yeah,
mystery.
Yeah, but, you know, that's so hard to
survival.
Put your finger on.
It
but,
is.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you're running from a serial killer, so, I mean, it's got survival horror in it, but it's not like a Resident Evil survival
right.
horror.
So you can't, we've become so defined by the stereotype or the prototyping of genres. You know, when you say survival horror, most people immediately dial into a Silent Hill or a Resident Evil type of image. When you say an action title, people very quickly, you know, dial into a Tomb Raider, God of War, you know,
right.
action game. And Heavy Rain doesn't fall into any of those categories, but I hope that it's successful because I want to see more games like it. So if you have a chance, get the to a GameStop when it launches, which will be in late February, and check it
Ooh.
Out.
We're, you know, not even that. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, for someone who's kind of iffy about the idea, I wouldn't even say go straight to a GameStop. If you've got a Gamefly account, do that. If you have a way that you can rent it so that you can see if this is something that you'd want to, you know, investigate, then do that. I mean, I know, see, this is really hard because with all the GameStop gift cards I got this for Christmas, I can't decide if my next game is going to be Dante's Inferno or this. I mean, it probably will be Heavy Rain.
For me, I will more than likely be picking up Dante's Inferno.
Because then we can trade.
Yeah, just because I've been dying to play that game. What about you? What did you read about that tickled your fancy?
I read about three different things. I read about the Google phone, that Nexus One, because I've seen a lot of buzz on that on the Twitters.
On the tweeters.
And I mean, I saw some people interacting with them over there at CES, and from the look of that screen, it looked very crisp and very clean, which, I mean, obviously for a demo unit, it should be. So, I mean, so I heard that there were some people who were like, it doesn't seem to have a lot of applications, but then again, it is brand new, so a lot of things haven't been created for it yet.
Look, it's brand new, and Droid doesn't have as massive an app store as the iPhone, because it hasn't been around as long, and people are just learning how to develop for it.
Yeah.
The apps will come.
But I mean, if you take a look at a Nexus, I mean, from far away, if you didn't know it from, you know, Sam, it kind of reminds me of an iPhone in the look.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little. But it's okay, because I don't care. So, I mean, that looked really interesting. I'm still reading about that every time a new tweet comes up. I was also, I had heard some buzz about Razer making a jump from headsets for like PC gaming into the console world, with not only headsets for consoles, but also controllers too.
Yep, Razer is dipping their toes in the console side, and I actually sat down and did an interview with Razer guy Rob, as well as a couple of the developers of some of their new technology. You will actually be able to hear that interview later on, either in the week or next week as part of our show. It was a really good interview. I've touched the controller for the Xbox. It's really responsive. It is so comfortable in your hand. Oh my Jesus.
Is it from the pictures that I've seen, it looks bulky from the side. Is it the same width?
It's not. Nope. It's actually a slimmer profile than the existing Xbox controller. It's lighter because it is a wired controller. It is not wireless. That's done on purpose. There are extra shoulder buttons, so you can actually remap the X, Y, A, B buttons.
Oh my God,
really? To one of the additional shoulder buttons. Or the thumbstick push-down buttons. So, like, one of my biggest pet peeves about first-person shooters is a lot of times you have to click down the right thumbstick and push it in a direction to run. You can actually now remap that press-down click to the secondary shoulder button, so that way you can just press the shoulder button and move the thumbstick.
Oh, God. Freaking Razer. Thinking ahead. I love it.
Oh, it's to hotness.
Yeah. So, I mean, I saw some pictures of that, and I was looking at that, and I mean, I think they were talking about a price point of the controller being like around $50, and the headset would be about $130, which, as we know for headsets, I'd say that's moderately fair.
Yeah, bring it down. $49 is what they're looking around for the price point for the controller, so it'll be in line with the existing controller prices.
Okay, good. So, I mean, it looked really cool. I mean, obviously, looks don't, you know, only account for so much. So, I mean,
no, seriously, dude, it's the hotness.
All right, I trust you.
Yep.
And the last thing...
I'd pre-order one right now if they'd let me.
Oh, they won't let you?
Mm-mm. it's still a prototype. They still got some things to work out, but Dude.
All right. I see the eye thing. I get it.
Dude!
The last thing that I've seen or heard of came out of Microsoft, because, you know, I was on my Xbox earlier today, and I was watching all the stuff with Major Nelson, and how he was talking about a new addition coming to Xbox Live called the Game Room,
mm-hmm.
which will allow, you know, I don't know if it's going to be strictly for Gold members or everyone, But it will make arcade games, like old retro arcade games, available for us to play. And you can customize an area where you can have your cabinets of these games. You can invite your friends' avatars over to play some. And it's just, it's another way to bring some more community gaming to the 360, which I think is, it's clutch.
Look, it's like all about community. The industry has changed. You know, we've gone in gaming from being by ourselves in a room playing a game
that
alone.
That starts with a lot of Rockstar and Hot Pockets.
To now multiplayer. Everything is multiplayer. The Wii is all focused on multiplayer. You're hard-pressed to find a single-player Wii game. You've got Rock Band, your Guitar Heroes, which are now only fun when you're playing with more than just yourself. You know, you know, really, you're now being left to action games being the only place where you're really getting a single-player campaign, and even those are now adding in multiplayer elements because we want to play with each other. Games are more fun when you play with other people. And yeah. I think that the developers have really gotten that, and because of that, you're seeing all of this change in the industry, and I think it's a wonderful thing.
I think so, too. I think it changes the stereotype of gamers, which is always a good thing when it's moved into a positive perspective.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I really like that idea. I mean, I really wish that other really elite consoles would get on the community bandwagon. And I really, really wish that they would get cross-game chat. And I really would like to see stuff like that happen. So, I mean, I'm glad that 360 has definitely advanced in that. I mean, it would give Sony something to work towards. So, we'll see.
Yep.
We'll see.
We've got some time we spent with the lead developer on Mass Effect 2, Jesse Houston. We got an interview with Jesse that we're going to be airing as part of our episode next week. We've spent some time actually and got a real hands-on look with Game Room for Xbox 360. We also spent time with John Grodem. And I know I'm going to say that wrong, so I'll make sure I put his name on the way. It's Grodem. But of Optoma, they make projectors, and they've made a projector specifically to be used as your home entertainment system, so replacing your TV. And the demo we were treated to is actually with a system designed to work for your Xbox 360 and deliver a 120-inch image.
Holy
just
shit.
Balling out of control here, and it was tight. So we've got some of that interview, and we also spent some time with Nyko. Like I said, we've got the interview with Razer. Also spent some time with Turtle Beach, with Triton, with Psycho, setting up our head-to-head headset combat. But we're going to review them all, playing the same games, and let you know who is the kick-ass of the kick-ass.
What game will that be?
Well, I'm trying to decide if it's going to be Modern Warfare, if it's going to be Uncharted 2.
It should be both. Depending on the headsets that we get.
Well, that's
because, I mean, you got two different genres of games, so you're going to want two different types of sound.
Not necessarily, but we'll get into those details behind the scenes. But we've got the head-to-head thing coming up, and so we've got that interview. Spent some time with a few companies that you probably don't know, so we've got some new things that are going to be coming out for you. The Image Gallery is going to be up soon, so make sure that you're checking us out on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce to the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we're also a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. You can find episodes of our podcast airing again in the week on Wednesday. I found the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com. The episodes run at about 8:30 Eastern, which works out to be 5:30 Eastern. Pacific. So before you pop in, especially if you're on the East Coast, to give a listen to our show, you can check out some of the other shows that are airing on the All Games Radio Network, which are amazing, and we highly recommend.
Yeah, agreed.
Like Fantastic Forum.
Or Gametopia.
There's Dead Pixel Live. Shout out to the DPL crew. Yeah, I said it.
There's in-game chat.
There's Bobby Blackwolf.
Friday Night Gaming has finally come back.
Yes, Synergy.
And then there's what? There's TQCast.
TQCast is there. You got Chatterbox, OLR, the Platform Nation Spotlight. There's the Escapist Lounge Radio. I mean, there's all kinds of geek-tastic shows on All Games. So make sure that you hit them up. If you bounce into the chat and participate, let them know that you heard about it from Electric Sisterhood, because we like getting credit.
Uh-huh.
We don't get paid or anything. We just like people knowing that, you know, we hook people up to the game. Because we do. We're all about community.
I'm getting paid.
Well, who wouldn't mind getting paid? But that's anywho, make sure that you check that stuff out. Like the lady said, you want to check out our stuff. You can follow us on Twitter, just in case you're jonesing for a little more than what we give you on a regular basis. I can be found at twitter.com/ninjasista.
And I'm twitter.com/LadyEsh.
You can follow King Baby Duck at twitter.com/King_Baby_Duck. Deuces Wild at twitter.com/DeucesWild. And Viciousmith at twitter.com/Viciousmith. So right there, boom, the nucleus of the Esh crew.
Yep, we're all there.
Weird, wacky, awesome. Follow us.
Please. I like stalkage.
You do like to be stalked.
I do.
So, since we've said goodbye to Toast...
Oh, you really have to bring that up. It's still very fresh.
I know. But, you know, we just got to rip that Band-Aid off so we can be okay.
I know. Oh, the burn. It hurts. Okay.
Because of, you know, different laws that have now popped up that we have to adhere to so that I don't have to go broke and pay a lot of fines.
Right.
We're going to do disclosures.
Hey.
To let you know what we got, so everybody's on the level, mostly because the man says we need to, so, Panda, do you have anything to disclose this episode?
I am going to disclose that Toast is awesome.
That
As you
Toast
can tell,
is awesome,
I got
or Toaster is awesome?
Both are awesome. No, I haven't gotten anything review wise from any distributors or anything like that. However, see, it's really tricky because I mean I did get those GameStop gift cards, which you know did allow me to get Bayonetta.
Yeah, but it wasn't a company that gave it to you. That was friends and family. You don't have to disclose.
Yeah.
That.
Well. I'll
unless they work for
too.
Any of those companies that, you know, unless they work for Sega, you don't have to disclose that.
Sega! Anyway, I will disclose that Toast and Toaster are really awesome and that Pleasure Ponies are interesting. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, play Bayonetta.
Oh my god.
Do you have anything to disclose?
As a matter of fact, I do have a lot of things to disclose.
Well then, have at it.
First thing that I want to disclose is that I did receive a bag from the Spec people at CES this week. Thank you, Spec, for the bag. I will be testing it out and reviewing that this week on the website.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to disclose that Pandalicious does the podcast with no pants on.
I am wearing pants, actually. It's fucking cold.
So
here in Eshland.
With that...
So
I'm Ninja Sista.
Disclosure.
That's the end of my disclosure. And I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
We are out of here, people. Until next week.
Yeah, okay, I'll go for